Acts chapter 3, verse number 1. The Bible says, "Now Peter and John went up together unto the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked in alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. And Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered into with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him." That's reading Acts chapter 3 tonight and verses 1 through 10. If the Lord will be pleased to help me, I want to preach for a few moments tonight on the simple subject, praising God from the overflow. Praising God from the overflow. Let's bow our heads for a few moments tonight. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the access we have to the throne of grace tonight. Thank you, dear Lord, for the sweet privilege to stand one more time on this side of eternity and lift up high the blood-stained banner of the Lord Jesus Christ. God, tonight I pray, oh God, that you'd hide me behind the cross. Lord, I pray you'd take these lips of clay, and Lord, that you'd use them to glorify the Son of God tonight. Thank you for the open door. Thank you for the invitation. I pray, Father, tonight that you would remove a fear of man and replace it with a fear of God. I pray, dear Heavenly Father, that you'd show up and show out as only you can. Lord God, I pray you'd just help me to make much of Jesus and to make much of the Word of God, the Gospel. And Lord, tonight when we walk out of here, may we know we've met with Christ and met with His Word. I pray you'd open the floodgates of heaven for a little while tonight, God. I pray you'd open the floodgates of glory. Let the heavenly sunlight of God shine down on this special time as we look into this blessed old book. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, there are a lot of wonderful truths that we could point out in this text tonight. Many of y'all have preached from this, you men of God, and many of y'all have taught from it, you teachers, and many of y'all sing about it even, you singers. Tonight, we could say a lot about this text, but what I want us to see tonight, I believe the greatest concept that's being projected in these verses is how true worship, and let me just say tonight, we're living in a day where there is false worship, by the way. But I want us to see tonight from the text how true worship is consequential to one's interaction with the life of God. No doubt that was the express message of the early church, the message that Jesus Christ is alive. God has validated the atonement by raising His Son bodily from the grave. And because Jesus is a living Lord, those who share in His life by grace through faith, they give evidence of doing so by worshiping God out of the overflow, not the obligation, but the overflow of who God is and what God's done for them. This man in our text bears testimony to that reality. The one who was lame, this man, he makes visible what David is getting at when he wrote in the 100th Psalm that we are to make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness, come into before His presence with singing. In verse 4, he said, Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and His truth endureth unto all generations. This cripple in our text, this one who had sat at the gates of the temple all of his life as a messed up man who was nothing and had nothing to give God. What we find is that upon him being healed, he was glad. And he was able to enter into the very courts of the temple, which David had written about 1,000 years prior. And when he went into that temple, he did so, the Bible says, by leaping up and praising God. I like that part in verse 8 when it said he was leaping up. That one act depicts the outward expression of the way worship should be. Leaping up, the same word is found in 4:14 of John's Gospel when Jesus told the woman at the well, But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water, here it is, springing up into everlasting life. leaping up and springing up are translated from the same word, halomai. The word denotes that of something being filled up to the point of gushing out. Salvation, I want to say tonight, is more than just having your name on a church roll and being baptized. It's more than just wearing the title of Baptist, but salvation is, as the Bible teaches, God bringing the fullness of his life to a dead sinner and bubbling forth out of that sinner the created purpose of worship. That's what we see in our text. We see a constraining. We see a can't help it. We see a don't care what everybody else thinks type of worship. Brother, that's the kind of worship I like to be a part of. As a matter of fact, that's the only kind of worship to be a part of. People say, preacher, I get nervous when folks get to shouting. Well, like that one preacher, I get nervous when they ain't shouting. Amen. Somebody said, what was it that the life of God produced in this man? What was it that was making him praise God from the overflow? Well, the first thing tonight, and I'll hasten this evening, is that this man was praising God because he had been freed from his burden. You see, the Bible is clear in verse 2 that this man had a burden which consisted of him being lame from his mother's womb. One could say it this way. This man was born in a state of lameness. He was conceived with a physical defect, if you will. He was shapen in a way that kept him from walking into the temple. And according to the law, by reason of this handicap, this man was ceremonially unclean and therefore was forbidden to go into the place of worship. The only thing this man could do was sit by day after day after day and watch as other worshipers went into the temple to praise God. All this man could do was listen to folks as they sang, watch them give, hear the word read and expounded. He could not, however, enter into that place of praise. You see, the lameness of this man exhibits that of those who by reason of being conceived in sin cannot live in the worship that God created them for. As God said through the prophet in Isaiah 43, 21 of Isaiah, he said, this people have I formed for myself. Here it is. They shall show forth my praise. That's God's created purpose for mankind. This sick, lame man could not live in that created purpose of enjoying God. He could not bless the Lord. He could not enter into God's court with praise. He could not serve the Lord with gladness. He was too lame to do so. Somebody said, what does a man do when he can't truly worship God? Well, verse 2 tells us. It says that the man worshiped money instead. The man asked for alms. His heart's desire was alms. But thank God Peter and John didn't preach the prosperity or practice the prosperity gospel. Amen. They didn't tell this man to name it and claim it. No, instead of giving him alms, they gave him legs. Amen. You say, preacher, why is that? Because worship is not bought with money. Rather, worship is brought by mercy. A man can't spend his way into the presence of God. You see, this man didn't need a handout. What he needed was a hand up. He needed to get back to that place of praise. He needed to get to that place of understanding who God is and what God made him for. But he couldn't go to that place because he was lame. And brother, there it is tonight. This is why many today in the Baptist church and any church for that matter can't feel ashamed to raise a hand or to give a shout or to say amen. And the reason is because of sin, brother. Sin keeps us down. Sin tells us we can't enter into that place of fullness and that place of joy. Oh, preacher, what's the answer? How do we find a strength in the midst of weakness? How do we get to that place where we can enjoy and interact with the life of God? I'll tell you how. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Amen. There's power in that name tonight. I know I'm not telling you anything you don't know, but just go with me anyway. Amen. It was in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. It wasn't in the name of religion. It wasn't in the name of positive thinking. He didn't have to pull himself up from his own bootstraps. He couldn't have done that. But the Bible said that what he couldn't do, Jesus did himself. And that day, God reached down on that old boy, picked him up from where he was, and put him back in that place where God had created him to be, which is that place of worship. God wants us tonight, brother. That's where God wants his people. He had not only freedom from his burden, but he praised God for fellowship with his brethren. I love this. The Bible says in verse 8, and he leaping up stood and walked and entered with them into the temple. Walking and leaping and praising God. For so many years, this man had watched others passing by on their way to worship. Amen. But not this time. Amen. The Bible says he went with them. The text shows us how Holy Ghost salvation is always made evident with church fellowship. You see it? You say, what do you mean? Verse 7 says, while being healed, Peter took this lame man by the right hand, lifted him up. You see that? It's not by coincidence. The very first thing this man does as he's being healed is lock hands with the brethren. He's locking up fellowship with the church. And I want to say this, you can't be in fellowship with God and be out of fellowship with his church. There's this false religion running through these foothills in the mountains of Western North Carolina and upper state South Carolina where people believe they can have fellowship with the body or with the head outside of the body. Brother, that's foolishness. Jesus is the head. The church is his body. You can't worship the head without the body being there. You can't worship the body without the head being there. That's not right. That's something that's dead. But thank God we don't serve a dead Savior and we don't abide in dead churches. Why? Because God's Holy Ghost life. Amen. What does that make you want to do, preacher? It makes me want to praise God out of the overflow. I like coming to the house of God, amen, and being able to lift an unworthy hand and thank God for his grace and his mercy. I ought to be in hell tonight and my back broke, scratching at the charred walls, screaming for a glass of ice water. But thank God, God didn't give me hell, but he gave me sweet Jesus, gave me the Lamb of God, gave me the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley. And thank God, here I am tonight in Packlet, South Carolina, telling you I'm a living, breathing, walking, talking testimony to the saving power of the Holy Ghost of God, not because I'm a badness, but because God is good. Amen. Boy, I read these scriptures, brethren, and I feel so small. Brother Clifford, I feel so small when I try to look at a scripture like this, seeing how big God is. Amen. Seeing what he can do, changing somebody's life. Boy, what a big God. I remember me and my wife, we had our first youngin', and I counted, Brother Clifford, a second ago, we got 5 kids, not 4. Amen. And 5 is the number of grace, and that's what we need, brother. To raise them youngins. We had that first youngin, Landon, my oldest boy, and it wasn't just a couple of years later. I was pastoring over in Fairview, North Carolina, up in the mountains, and I was in the house, and I couldn't find Landon. I didn't know where he was. And I knew I better find him because Mama was eventually going to find me. Amen. And so I got to look, and I looked out on the back porch, and there he was. 2 or 3 years old, I reckon. And as he was on the back porch, I looked up there. I looked over there at him, and he said, Daddy. He said, what are them things up yonder? I said, son, them are the stars. He said, stars. I said, yes, stars. And I looked back down to where he was standing. I saw my little boy on his tippy toes with his arms stretched out as high as he could get them. And I looked at him, and I heard him say, I can't reach it. It's just too high up there. Just too high up there. He come back down off his toes. I went back into the house and God hit me upside of the head. And brother, I thought to myself, that's exactly how I feel when I try to talk about the grace of God. I feel like a 2-year-old trying to grab a star. Amen. And I come down on my toes and I say, Lord God, I can't reach it. Amen. Woo! Amen. Hey, you say, preacher, why can't you reach it? Because it's just too high up there. Brother, I want to tell you what we are apart from the grace of God. And again, I ain't telling you something that you don't know. But brother, we're lost and undone and headed to hell without God. Apart from his grace, we're bankrupt spiritually. We're cut off from God incompletely. We're completely, undeniably, undoubtedly, without a shadow of a doubt, dead in our sin. And what we need is somebody to reach us. And that's what happened in this text. He got reached by God. God came down to where he was, took him out of that place of lameness, brought him into the fellowship, and he all of a sudden got up in the honey patch and he said, I can't help it. I got to worship God because he's been so good to me. He lifted me up. He set my feet down. He brought me to a place of worship. And whether or not everybody else is going to worship, that don't matter. He said, I'm going to worship.
I'm going to worship.
The overflow of praise free from his burden, fellowshipping with his brethren. He locked up hands with them boys. But number three, the featuring out of his blessing. He preached and praised and worshiped God. I believe because something had happened to him and he wanted others to see it. You say, I don't believe it. Well, look at verse number 8. Leaping up, stood, walked, and entered with them in the temple, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. This man wanted other people to know what God had done for him. This ain't arrogant religion. This is somebody who's just glad to be saved. You remember the day God reached down your way, brother. You remember the time where he came to where you was. Amen. I'm going to tell you, brother, this text will kick the religion off of you. Amen. He didn't care what that crowd thought. He was so caught up in the glory. Amen. All he wanted to do is just praise God because he knew what he used to be. He knew where he used to go. He knew what he used to not be able to do. And now here he is standing in the wonder of God's amazing grace. What are you getting at, preacher? I'm trying to tell you tonight, look at where you are. Amen. Look at what God's done in your life. Look at them youngins sitting right yonder with you. Look at that wife or that husband. Amen. Look at this tabernacle that God's paid for. Look at the church that you get to attend. You're washed in the blood. Amen. Heaven bound with a hammer down. Sitting under the spout where the glory runs out. God's got you up in the honey patch this evening. And I want to say he didn't save you that you might just be quiet about it. But honey, he saved you that you might lift up your unworthy hand and your unworthy voice and say, thank you, God, that you didn't leave me where you found me. But I'll tell you, it would help us a lot tonight just to forget about everybody else and start pondering God and thinking about God and getting back to loving God. We might see revival break out in the churches. Yes, sir. This old boy had the can't help it. He was under the spout where the glory runs out. Thank you, preacher. He was deep in the honey patch. He has been washed in that red river of redemption. He's gone from being a beggar to being a joint heir with Christ. His life has been changed. His focus has been redirected. His heart has been regenerated. He's walking on both legs. He's now part of that innumerable multitude that John wrote about. He's a stone in the building, a sheep in God's flock, a trophy of grace. He's drank from the well that'll never run dry. He's eating from Naboth's vineyard. He's resting in Boaz's field. Just like Mephibosheth, he's sitting at the table. He's been brought to the mercy seat. He sees that royal high priest, amen, presenting him faultless before the throne of God. He's now seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. He wants everyone to know about it. He ain't brainwashed, brother. He's blood washed, amen. Redeemed, reconciled, justified, amen. Filled with the Holy Ghost. And because of all this, he wants to worship God from a thankful heart, amen. And brother, how could you not want to when you think about what Jesus did? Amen. Oh God, 760 years before he came, the prophet said he'd be wounded for our transgressions. He'd be bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace would be upon him. But thank God by his stripes, we would be healed. Jesus Christ, amen. The Son of God became a son of man. This very God who before eternity walked out on nothing, grabbed a big handful of nothing and threw it out and made everything. Amen. One day in the fullness of time came down to this microscopic piece of dirt called earth. You're going to help me tonight, ain't you? Amen. He was virgin born, laid in a feeding trough in Bethlehem's barn. But he didn't stay there. The Bible said he went down to Egypt to escape Herod's edict. But he didn't stay there. He would go on to Nazareth to be raised 30 years in the carpenter's shop, but he wouldn't stay there. He'd go down to Judea and be baptized in the muddy Jordan River. Amen. He'd come out of the water and the dove would light upon his shoulder and God would say from the glory world, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. But he wouldn't stay there. The Bible said that he would go to a cross and he who knew no sin would be made sin
for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God of on him. Hey, but he wouldn't stay on that cross. They laid him in a borrowed tomb, and for 3 days he was in the tomb, but he didn't stay there. On the third and appointed morning, God the Father said amen to the atonement, raised his son bodily, I said bodily, from the graveyard, and thank God 40 days later he ascended to the Father and sat down at the right hand of God on high. But he won't stay there. He's coming back in great power and glory. One day the eastern sky will break back. God's youngins are going home, and it'll be goodbye world, goodbye. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying worship God from the overflow. What a God. What a Savior. What a Holy Ghost. I'm done, preacher. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to his name. Hallelujah.